In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on October 20th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is Ethan Lee, fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls. And hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I am fine. Thank you for asking me that. It is the 16th time you've asked me that question, and I appreciate it every single time.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's probably more than 16th, because we've met up on a couple of occasions.
Yes, so you've asked me the...
And then I also ask you that, like, every time we actually talk.
Yeah.
Via Skype.
You do ask me, how's it going, a lot. But
yeah.
16 publicly.
That's fair.
And actually, yeah, 16 publicly. And also, you have to count the numerous times when you say, how's it going, but I screw up the intro. Because that happens quite a lot. So today on the show, we're going to talk about Mississippi State's 45-20 victory over Louisiana Tech. And we're going to go over our SEC picks, in which I am tied with Ethan Lee, but I don't care. I legitimately don't care.
You're welcome. I told you.
Ethan, I don't care if you told me. You can tell me all you want. Because the one pick that made the one pick that I'm sure we're both thinking of right now that made you gain one on me was one of the best parts of my day. And
we'll talk about it quite a bit throughout the show because we were given a question about it too.
We were given a question about it too. And as I'm currently trying to say random words as I'm pulling up the stats of the Mississippi State Louisiana Tech game, so please bear with me here. Here we go. We got them. Woo. And we do have some questions as well, so we'll get to that at the end of the show. But let's start with the first matter at hand. Mississippi State defeated Louisiana Tech 45-20 on Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium at 11 a.m. on the SEC Network. Other information required. Ethan, you said, I went back and listened to Thursday's show, and you said something along the lines of Mississippi State would win 41-17.
Yes.
I believe that may not be exactly right, but that's somewhat close.
Well, I did some sort of math that was
like
somewhere between
two things.
I averaged two score predictions.
Yeah, whatever.
That ended up being close enough.
When Mississippi State was down 14-0 in this game, I wasn't necessarily worried, but
I wasn't. No.
Thoughts of 2008 were flashing through my mind, and thoughts of 2011 were flashing through my mind, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. My 27-24 prediction is gonna be so good. It will be perfect. and then the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter happened. All of that happened.
Yeah. It came out today or yesterday or something like that that Bob Garskadden tweeted out that apparently Dak Prescott was PO'd for the first time in his career in a game.
I don't know why
and,
not.
Yeah. I can go ahead and say that I was right up there with him. The first tweet I tweeted out about the game was, don't talk to me.
Yes,
I was. Yeah. I shortly after that tweeted out a couple times of, I will fight these refs. Refs, I will fight you. Something along those lines. And, yeah, no, I was not a happy individual. Just,
you and I mean, I don't significantly. Beanie.
Yeah, I don't seriously mean that I would fight those guys, but they had some bad calls, and there were just the way the game was going was not a good direction.
You know, it's funny early. How you tweeted, "Don't talk to me," although I was pretty much texting you throughout that entire game, which is the digital way of talking.
So, yeah.
I apologize, man, that I disobeyed you on your tweet.
Nah, it's cool. This was all in all, it was a relatively fun game.
Do you want me to tell you something that's...
just step back. Yeah.
That's pretty hilarious. Mississippi State was down 14-0, and Ole Miss was up 14-0 at the exact same time on Saturday.
You want to know something else that's absolutely hilarious?
What is something else that's absolutely hilarious? Are you going to mention the A&M helmets?
No, I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, okay.
I was going to mention that earlier.
Spoiler
Jeff
alert.
Jeff Driscoll and Dak Prescott both threw 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you want to know Jeff Driscoll's 3rd touchdown?
Sure.
Brandon Bryant, 73-yard interception.
Ha, 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 that was a good one.
He ran the 4.25 40.
Yes.
For all the Ole Miss fans out there that preseason were doubting that it was possible that Mississippi State had multiple guys that could run that fast, just go back and watch that play.
I don't know why Ole Miss fans necessarily worried about it, in my opinion. If we're obsessed, why are y'all obsessed with 40 times?
They might be obsessed.
With 40 times. Not with Mississippi State, but they're obsessed with 40 times, apparently. But they don't care about us, because we're not their real rival. Anyways, Memphis is their real rival, but we'll get to that. This game. You've said some things about this game, and I didn't necessarily prepare anything. I didn't necessarily prepare anything to talk about this game. Both teams threw the ball a lot. We were kind of even. When I look at the stats here, we were pretty evenly matched. We had 440 yards of total offense, if I could speak. They had 413. Weston Graves is a good kicker. That's great.
Yes, he is.
We had more points left. He's
actually... Weston Graves, just side note, he's one of the best kickers in the nation. When was the last time Mississippi State could say that they had arguably one of the best quarterbacks and arguably one of the best kickers in the nation at the same time?
You know, as long as I've been alive, Mississippi State's kickers have been pretty inconsistent, and our quarterbacks were mediocre at best.
Yeah.
My first true recollection of Mississippi State football were the days of Adam Carlson, Mike Hennig, and Wes Carroll. Adam Carlson was okay.
Yeah.
I guess. The only kick I will vividly remember him for was the 2007 Egg Bowl kick. All the rest of the misses in, like, the 2006 Egg Bowl, or he missed, like, a 30-yarder against Auburn in 08, and all of this other stuff I'll forget. And then there was Sean Broccoli and Tyson Lee, and then there was Derek DePasquale and Chris Rolfe, and then we know what happened with Devin Bell and then Sobiesk and... Yeah, we've never had a consistent kicker, a consistently good kicker or quarterback, as far as I can remember.
And then you add in the rest of the special teams kickers. You know, Logan Cook has one heck of a leg whenever he can actually square it up on his foot, you know, the ball. Pretty great punter. And then we have a phenomenal kickoff specialist. I don't know what the term is. And Devin Bell. So we have... All in all, like, our kicking unit is pretty good.
Yeah.
You gotta have all three of them. It's not like we have one guy that can do all three jobs like some schools do. But
you know, back on that quarterback kicking thing,
I will take the kicking committee here over kicking committee. Having one good.
The kicking committee. The committee of kickers.
Well, you know, some teams have, like, a running back by committee, you know.
Yeah, I like...
Hey, okay, just, the kicking I'm going to make this a thing of the kicking
committee. The yeah. kicking committee, okay. Back on that quarterback kicking thing, one yeah. thing I can... One group of two I can remember is John Bond and Artie... It's either Artie Cosby or Artie Crosby. I think it's Artie Cosby. The one who was actually a really good kicker, but will forever be remembered for missing the kick in the 1983 Egg Bowl, also known as the Immaculate Deflection. Those two were pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, I consider yeah. that 1983 Immaculate Deflection field goal good because it actually went through the uprights before coming back down. So it was technically a made field goal, and we should have won. There's nothing in the rule book that says anything about how it should be a missed field goal. It has to go through the uprights. And it did. Just saying. That was 32 years ago, but I'm just saying.
We're not going to get into that because that game was before neither of us existed at that point in time.
That's true. If you really... This is the definition of a true For Whom the Podcast Holds game recap, because we just started talking about kickers from 1983 when we should be talking about Mississippi State and Louisiana Tech. But oh well. Oh well. But
you know,
hey, what are you going to do about that?
Surprised me in this game?
Who surprised you in this game, Ethan?
Yeah.
Who did?
Didn't have... a huge game, but Darian Hutcherson.
Yeah, started...
Just sort of showed up.
Started in replacement of Fred Wally. Or
he had
Gus
three
Wally.
Receptions for 41 yards. Nothing major. Gus Wally. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Malik Deer also, you know, just stepped yes. in when Fred Ross went out. And,
six receptions
and had
for 70
a phenomenal
yards,
game.
Yes.
Malik Deer's, you know, yeah, arguably one of the most complete dynamic athlete that we've had since Jamion Lewis, and I guess it's only been 1 year, but I would say that Malik Deer is better than Jamion was,
okay.
So. And then, you know, we have Dak Prescott, who just had an absolute... heck of a game. 30 for 43. You know, the magic number of throwing over 40 times a game. 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, and again, no interceptions. And a couple of passes that were off here and there. But just all in all, had a great game. And then you throw in, he had 10 rushing attempts, including the sacks, for 34 yards and a touchdown with a long of 15 yards. You know, this is... I guess not his best game, but it's one of his better games, and we obviously needed it to get the offense going again. So I just, you know, and he entered the 50-30 club, which a lot of Aggies are out there saying on Twitter that, oh, Dak Prescott's been around for 4 years, and he's been playing for 4 years. Well, yeah, I mean, okay, Johnny Manziel did it in 2, but this is Dak Prescott's second full year starting. So, you know...
I don't really know why you would necessarily decide to throw in 2012, since he got, like, 2 touchdowns that year. Maybe not exactly.
Yeah.
Something around there.
I think he had 4. 4 total. 4. Yeah.
I remember
it's not a lot.
I remember there was some stat. This is not going to be exactly right, and I can assure you that. But it was something like... I know he passed, he had a touchdown pass and a running touchdown against both LSU and Alabama. I don't remember the stat, but I remember that being a part of it. I don't know, it's been 3 years.
Just Well, I mean, Dak Prescott is up there with Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel, and, you know, you can criticize. So, you know, he's up there with Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow, and say what you want about their NFL careers, but they're two of college football's greatest ever. And Dak Prescott is Mississippi State's greatest ever.
Indeed.
So, I mean, it's just give credit where credit's due. I don't care who you are, if you're an Ole Miss fan, if you're whoever. Give Dak Prescott credit for what he's done here at Mississippi State, because it's something that many will not talk about, and many should. He is one of college football's greatest players ever. And Peter Burns tweeted out, I think it was today, that he wishes he could watch Dak Prescott play college football for 10 more years, just because he's been considerably one of the most fun players he's ever seen. And I think every Mississippi State fan would love to see Dak Prescott in the maroon and white for 10 more years.
Yeah. So anyways, if that's it for you, we can get into our fun SEC stuff.
Yes.
That is it for you. I've got nothing. I was not prepared at all for this part of the episode. but hey, I guess that's me. So let's go ahead and get into our SEC schedule. And we've already talked about Mississippi State, Louisiana Tech, which leads us to a certain game.
Yes.
That I've been looking forward to talking about now for a while, since Saturday. I'm pretty excited to talk about it. I'm sure you know that I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm excited to talk about it. We missed a game.
Oh, did we miss a game?
We didn't talk about it. It was last Thursday.
Oh, yes! Thank you for delaying the one I wanted to talk about. The Auburn Tigers defeated the Kentucky Wildcats 30-27 on a Thursday night game. I know you're very excited to talk about that, Ethan.
Auburn actually did not look great, but they haven't looked great all season. They're 4-2 right now. They're getting better. They, if they can find a way to play a second half, like they would have blown out Kentucky, which a lot of people are saying Kentucky's decent this year, which I don't necessarily believe, but, be it as it may, the Auburn Tigers picked up their first SEC win of the year. They're 4-2.
They picked up their first games. SEC win of the year against Kentucky. Who expected that? Raise your hand if you expected that, because I'm not.
It's a little odd. No, I don't think anybody did. Ricardo Lewis had one amazing game. He balled out with Duke Williams being gone, and then Sean White, Mr. Snowboarder, had a decent performance too. So,
yeah,
that's all I really have to say. I mean, Patrick Toles had a phenomenal game as well. That's going to go unnoticed in the loss. 27 out of 44 for 359 yards. So,
and on that last credit, and on that last Kentucky possession was just dumb.
Yes,
that was just dumb. The draw play on Second down. With like 44 seconds, no timeouts on in their own territory. It wasn't. That wasn't good.
So, I mean, we'll talk more about Kentucky later in the week.
Yes, we
but,
will.
But I'm feeling fairly confident going into the blackout against the Wildcats.
We better not wear black uniforms. You know my thoughts about black uniforms, Ethan.
Do you not know what a blackout is?
It is where fans wear black uniforms. Or wear black stuff.
So on to the game that
we had a stripe out this past weekend, and we didn't wear stripe uniforms. We better not wear black uniforms.
On to the game that you're excited to talk about.
I would like to play something. May I play something for this game that we're about to talk about?
Go for it. Go for it.
Go Tigers, go! Go Tigers, go!
The Memphis Tigers defeated the Ole Miss Rebels by a final score of 37-24, and I wish I were there.
That
did you enjoy my soundbite?
I'm ignoring the soundbite.
Why do you not like my soundbites? You don't like any of my soundbites.
I want to point out that I predicted that Memphis would win.
You don't like any of my soundbites. I want you to answer that question.
But I want to say that I did not expect Memphis to win by double digits.
Oh, you're ignoring my question, but okay.
I'm talking about the game at hand.
I know. I want you to talk about why you do not like my soundbites, because I don't think you like one of them.
I am staying on topic for once.
Fine, person. I just called you a person, by the way.
You did call me a person. So, so much joy. Because I was hanging out outside by Barnes & Noble, and, you know, I was tailgating for a little bit and then met up with you.
Yes.
And there was just a whole bunch of ringing coming from inside the stadium, where apparently they were showing on the Jumbotron how the end of this game went.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. They showed Memphis's last field goal, and then they showed the interception, and I sent you the video of about 150 people surrounding the TV in the concourse of the west side of the stadium ringing cowbells in unison. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Hats off to the Memphis Tigers.
Ethan.
Just.
If you were about to finish your thought, go ahead, because I'm about to go to some sentimental story.
I mean, I'm just so happy to be right in this case. Just so happy.
I am too. I'm happy that you're right too.
Yeah, just you can go on to your sentimental story now.
It was 3 years ago when in the year one of the Justin Fuente era, the Memphis Tigers went 4-8. I don't know how I remember this, but I remembered it about 2 hours ago, and I thought this would be perfect for this part of the show. I vividly remember outside of Gibson's Donuts here in the great city of Memphis, Tennessee, telling my dad after Memphis won their fourth game, wow, a four-win season is really impressive for Memphis. I said that Memphis winning four games is impressive. And I wasn't even joking. It wasn't a shot towards the Memphis program. I was being serious. Four wins was good for Memphis. Never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought that the Memphis Tigers are number 18 in the nation and 7-0 through week 7 of the college football season after defeating the number 13 team in the country. This is, without a doubt, the biggest win in Memphis football history. It surpassed the only time Memphis ever beat Tennessee, and Tennessee is not liked all that much around here among Memphis fans. Back when Memphis beat Tennessee, back in 1996 when Tennessee had Peyton Manning, that newspaper is hung up on walls still today, 19 years afterwards. The commercial appeal will be hung up. This commercial appeal for Sunday or Monday will be hung up on walls forever here in the city of Memphis, because this is the biggest win in program history. And I tell you this, if Memphis can win out, because they have two ranked teams remaining on their schedule, if they can win out with some help with a couple other teams and maybe two or three other teams that can lose in that top six,
they're going to the playoffs.
Can make the playoff.
That's astounding. But it's okay, because the team from my hometown is going to beat them.
That's incorrect. So. Houston will not beat Memphis. That's incorrect. That won't happen.
I mean, it's at Houston.
Okay.
In a shiny new stadium.
Mississippi State.
That's absolutely
Mississippi State beat Houston back in 2010. What's so special about Houston?
Houston wasn't any good back in 2010.
I think Case Keenum was there. They were pretty good.
I think that. Okay, so.
So.
Just because he was there for one like that particular year does not mean they were good that particular year.
I don't even
year.
Know what they went that in particular year. Was that Sumlin? No, that was not Sumlin's last year.
Sumlin's last year was 2011.
2011. Okay.
But I think that actually might have been Art Briles' year in 2010. I'm not sure.
Sumlin was there long. Sumlin was there in 2009 when we lost to Houston.
You're right.
I know. I am. I am right. I am right. I know that, Ethan.
You're right on that one topic.
Ethan,
calm down, sir.
But I got it right. And so, ha. Huh. Houston's probably going to have some, like, if you're looking up the Houston record in 2010, they're probably going to end up being really bad, and that'll be sad. He's probably looking it up as we speak.
5-7.
5-7, all right. Whew. Never mind. But anyways, what's so special about this Houston place, Ethan? Tell us.
I've already...
What's so special?
Said it's my hometown.
It's yes, it is your hometown. Memphis is my hometown. I'm sitting in Memphis right now. I am not walking in Memphis. I am sitting in Memphis. What?
You want to know something about that 2010 Memphis or the 2010 Houston team?
Do I really?
You were talking about Case Keenum. He was actually injured for most of that year.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, Case Keenum was on the team. He was on the roster, so...
He was sitting on the bench.
But he was on the roster. So, yes, they had Case Keenum that year.
Okay.
I'm being really technical right now. But anyways, the Memphis Tigers beat Ole Miss, and Memphis is going to go undefeated, and I don't care what you say, Ethan. November 14th will be fun when Memphis and Houston... are undefeated, and Houston has College Game Day on the ESPN primetime, 7 p.m., maybe even the ABC game.
We're going to have to pick that game. We're going to have to preview that game.
I think we should... that's the same week as the Alabama game. We should split time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Memphis beat Ole Miss. I am ecstatic. Ole Miss shouldn't be ranked. As a Memphian, I've never been prouder, knowing that that game was broadcast nationally televised on one of the three major networks in ABC, and that really big man, the student with the painted, with the paint on his chest and the megaphone, playing the air guitar on the megaphone. You go. Keep doing it. I want you to be, I know you're not listening, but hey, you could be. I want you to go to the Liberty Bowl and do that every single game. And I want you to be on TV every single game, because you are good luck. You were on TV versus Cincinnati. You were on TV versus Ole Miss. You are good luck. Go to Houston and be on TV, because if you're on TV, we'll win. Go, Tigers, go.
Hey, you want to know something? Ole Miss has another 11 a.m. kickoff against a Tigers on the road in a couple of weeks.
The Auburn Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. We'll talk about that later.
I was just saying there's parallels there.
Because you think Auburn's going to beat Ole Miss.
Fun. I think they might. I don't think they necessarily will, and we'll see how the schedule turns out. We'll see how Ole Miss does against one of the teams that we're going to talk about next.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So, you mentioned one of the teams we're going to talk about next. So, our next game is...
Oh, no.
Bob Okay, that's fun.
No, it's not. It's not.
Why don't
it's terrible.
Why don't you like my sound bites? You have disliked three of my three sound bites.
I don't really like the I don't like the CBS game
okay.
at all. Like
why is it my bump da bump da bump that you don't like, or is it the theme? Because that would
I
be
don't
offensive.
Like the theme. I don't like the bump da bump da bump, and I don't like Vernon Gary.
Okay, now why do you not like the Memphis fight song?
It just was obnoxious.
You don't like the Memphis fight? Now, do you not like my singing it? Because in that case,
no.
I understand, because I'm not a good singer.
I just don't like most fight songs.
Okay, you didn't like the Florida fight song either, when I played the Florida song. So you know what? When Texas A&M beats Ole Miss, I will play the Texas A&M fight song, and I will be happy about it. And I don't care what you say.
What happens if Ole Miss beats A&M?
I'm not going to
play their
any,
fight song?
No, I'm not going to play it.
Fine, then I will play their fight song.
I have the ability to mute you.
I can always play Hotty Toddy on here.
If you do, I will hang up on you, and I will do the show for the remainder of the. And hey, if I play the A&M fight song, you can do the same. And I'll try to find something to talk about, because I'm usually not the talker here.
So A&M and Alabama.
Yes, Alabama beat A&M 41-23.
There's a lot of talk about. Oh, Alabama got lucky because of the three pick sixes, and they wouldn't have that many points. But at the same time, A&M only had 13 points of offense.
Yeah.
You take away those 21 points out of defensive secondary magic, and it's still 2017 or 2013, whatever, a 7-point win.
Yeah. You know, I'm
and
sure...
Alabama's offense is garbage.
You know, I'm sure that that Kyle Allen is the Alabama Offensive Player of the Week.
He absolutely should be.
Yeah. Because he threw three pick sixes, and in addition to his three interceptions, Kyler Murray threw an interception.
I was rewatching the game earlier today when maintenance came by to fix my dryer and a leak.
I'm sure you were happy watching it again.
But, like, the first play of the game, Kyle Allen threw a pass, and it should have been picked off. It was right in the hands of a defensive back. He made bad throws throughout that entire game. Like, it wasn't just those pick sixes. He made a lot of dumb decisions.
Yeah, sure, okay, yeah.
So,
I want to talk about Ethan's favorite person with his favorite nickname, El Tractorcito, if that's how you say it, Derrick Henry.
He is my favorite running back this year.
Derrick Henry had 32 carries for 236 yards and two touchdowns, an average of 7.4 yards per rush.
He just entered him, like his name, he put his name in the Heisman ballot with this performance.
You don't think he had already?
I think he'd stepped out of the conversation for a little bit, by no fault of his own, but just by the fact that, you know, Bama lost to Ole Miss, you know, he hadn't had any spectacular game yet, and on CBS, national television, I guess, you know, he had a pretty good game against Georgia, but this is where he just absolutely threw his name right in the middle of it. Going on the road, carrying his team to victory. There were a couple of plays where he threw Myles Garrett off of him. And Myles Garrett is a big man. So, I would not be surprised if, you know, come November, when we see LSU-Alabama, that there's a lot of hype around that game, and specifically around two running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So
that discussion was fun. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about in the South Carolina Vanderbilt game?
Can we trade these two teams out of the SEC for Memphis and for Houston?
I don't see why not. Memphis and Houston could play each other every single year in the SEC, and we would talk about it every single year.
I mean, those schools are already in SEC states.
Yeah.
There's no other SEC school in South Carolina, so we don't even need them.
The SEC already has the Middle Tennessee school, the East Tennessee school. It doesn't have the West Tennessee school and the Great Memphis Tigers. Texas A&M is like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Houston. Why not have Houston in the conference?
See, and then we can make a regional rivalry out of Tennessee and Memphis, and then make a regional rivalry out of A&M and UH, and then just problem solved.
Hey, here we go.
So much better than South Carolina.
Well, if this were 2 years ago, we would disagree. Thank you, Steve Spurrier. But anyways, nothing interesting happened. Sean Elliott's 1-0. That's exciting. LSU beat Florida 35-28. And when you didn't think Les Miles could get crazier, he just pulled off the third fake field goal winning touchdown against Florida in his career at LSU.
It's not like... I mean, this was a good game all the way through. It just... Man...
I mean, does Les Miles save these up specifically for when they play Florida? A good Florida team at that?
He might.
A good Florida
team. He might. Florida had to rely a lot on Treon Harris.
Yes.
Which is not something they're necessarily used to. One, because he hasn't been their starting quarterback because of Mr. Greer and his PEDs. But two, they typically rely on Kelvin Taylor, and he was shut down.
Yeah, 15 carries for 25 yards, 1.7 yards per rush. Florida had 31 total carries as a team for a whopping 55 yards.
So, when you have... I mean... Treon Harris had a pretty good game, 17-32 for 271s, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
Not too shabby.
That's a pretty good game when you go into Death Valley. But you can't do that for your quarterback who's getting, what, his second start of the season on the road?
First, I
thought. That's just not fair.
Oh, no, you are right, isn't it? It is a second, because he started, like, the first game.
So, you know, hats off to LSU. They are the only undefeated team left.
Yeah.
I was texting you before the Will Greer crap and saying that Florida would run the table and would end up in the playoffs. And
that you know,
they still might at this point get to 11-1. And there's not many good teams on there. I don't think there's any good teams left on their schedule, if I remember correctly.
Who, Florida?
But,
they have to play Georgia, which I think game, that Florida Georgia game is always weird. And they play, they also play Florida State, who is overrated but not bad.
But that's in the swamp. If it was in Doak Campbell, I would say that. Oh gosh, no,
I'm not doing it. I only did it because they beat Ole Miss, so I'm not doing it again. I was just.
So, you know, Florida might be 11-1. They're probably going to represent the East, unless Missouri does some sort of voodoo magic.
The thing is, that would be the most Missouri thing ever. I believe. How many conference losses do they have? Three.
Missouri.
Yeah, do they have three?
I think so.
They've lost to Kentucky, Georgia, and someone else, right?
Florida.
That would be the most Missouri thing ever if they do win the East with three losses, although they've already lost to Florida and Georgia and Kentucky. You know what? At this point with Missouri...
Go ahead.
You know, at this point with Missouri, I don't think we should be surprised if they win the East.
Yeah. But... something of note, Kentucky might end up coming second in the East.
I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
And, Ethan, do we really want to talk about this? How the Georgia Bulldogs beat Missouri 9-6?
No, because that was just stupid football. So we're going to skip it.
Although I do want to say one thing. Just one thing.
Yeah.
Just one thing. Missouri had 164 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
What were you thinking I was going to do?
I was expecting a soundbite.
No, I have no soundbite for this atrocity. But I'll tell you this, I've witnessed worse.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yes, I have. I've witnessed a lot worse.
See, this is the basketball equivalent of, or this would be the football equivalent of some of the basketball that I've seen here at Mississippi State. Or like some of the baseball that was played this past season.
Certainly.
It just was stupid. This was a stupid game.
You know, I couldn't have said that myself. I couldn't have said that better myself. It was stupid.
Missouri actually had a 6-3 lead at one point in this game.
Oh, I wish it were 3-2.
At halftime.
We're going to talk about Missouri-Vanderbilt on Thursday, but that's going to be as close to 3-2 as we're ever going to get in another SEC football game.
Yeah. Thank God.
You know, I will cry tears of joy if there is another 3-2 game in my lifetime in the SEC.
Yeah.
I will laugh, I will cry, I will bleed.
So, we have some questions.
Yes!
And we have some questions from last
week. Yeah, that's correct.
That we didn't get to, yeah.
Yeah, so our first one was from the 14th of October, which was 5 days ago as we record. And it's a pretty complex question. It's from the large dog trademark, Mr. Vanderlip at KT Vanderlip. This is an incredibly complex question that I'm trying to reduce. He says that the task, and the thing is, this would have been perfect if we would have recorded just about 30 minutes later, because this was in before the Louisiana Tech game. But the task is to rank the 7 listed facts and their level of importance in determining the outcome of Saturday's game. 1 is most important, is 7, and 7 is least. All items must be listed. The thing is, this is kind of hard knowing that the game's already happened.
See, but this is where I was saying we should have done an article together on this.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you never applied, and I never got to it because of my schedule.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. But
he pretty much listed a bunch of stats.
Where both, I mean, outside of like the last two where it talks about where La Tech has 9 players from Mississippi, MSU has 5 players from Louisiana, La Tech has 3 players from
Houghton.
Houghton. 3 players from Houghton, Louisiana. MSU has 1 very notable player from Houghton, Louisiana. You know, he lists these stats where the teams are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Just very similarly built. Quarterback stats are pretty similar. The passing game, just all in all, like, very similarly built teams.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily know how to do it now, to rank these, knowing
let's
that...
just... Why don't we give our top 3 of the most important?
Okay.
Just looking back at this game, what were the top 3 most important stats here?
Passing yards probably is number 1.
Yeah?
Where
La Tech had been averaging 320, MSU had been averaging 275, and MSU had considerably more than 275 in this game.
Right. Points per game? Louisiana Tech was averaging almost 40 points per game, 40 if you round up, and they only scored 20.
Which that goes back to the MSU stat that he puts on here, where we're averaging 32.3 and giving up 17.7.
Yeah.
That's right in line with that 17.7.
Yeah.
Against a very good defense, or a very good offense.
Certainly. There wasn't a lot of running the ball, so I don't know if that was necessarily of importance.
Yeah.
Really, I'll just put those first two, and we can just roll with it.
I think the key one for me, he has on here the Driscoll was second on the team in rushing total and the yards there, and Dax first on our team with the rushing total and so on and so forth. We saw Driscoll move out of the pocket a couple times, and he is, for a guy that's said to be like a coming out of high school, he was like a pro style. This guy had some wheels.
Mm-hmm.
He could move. And he, again, we don't know exactly if Dan Mullen recruited him. I saw Dan Mullen chase him down after the game before he went into the locker room, and they talked, and I'm pretty sure he complimented the game that he played. And just so, all in all, I just think that the quarterback play in general, not necessarily their running game specifically, but just the quarterback play in general was the key aspect to this game. For me.
So our next question is from Justin Strawn. It's another question from the 14th of October. Justin Strawn at Justin Strawn MWN. One more. The Joey Bats, as in Jose Bautista, for those who do not know his nickname. The Jose Bautista bat flip. Do you love it or hate it?
What's your take on it?
I personally think it's spectacular and it brings some fun to the game.
See, in general, like, bat flips, I'm not a huge fan of. Like, if you do a bat flip, to me, that invites the pitcher to put a ball square up in your back. But because of the team that this happened to, I am a huge fan of it.
Against the Texas Rangers out of Dallas, Texas.
The Arlington Rangers, sir. They don't represent the entire state.
I'm sorry. And I said it was out of Dallas, Texas. It's in Arlington, not Dallas.
They're not even in Arlington. They're not even in Dallas. They're in Arlington.
They're in Arlington, where the Dallas Cowboys are.
The Arlington Cowboys.
So Arlington has more pro teams than Dallas does.
Yeah, they do.
Are the Mavericks there?
No, I think the Mavs actually are in Dallas, and then Dallas has some hockey team, but who cares about hockey? This isn't Canada.
Canada, eh?
So
yeah, I love it, and you love it simply because they were playing the Rangers.
Yep.
And our final question is from the Large Dog Trademark at KT Vanderlip, Mr. Vanderlip. He asked this question today. Number one, it's four questions, actually. Number one, State has always had a stable of running backs. And this question is something that you've actually talked about a lot, Ethan. Has the stable now moved to the wide receiver position? And yeah, I really have no opinion. I'm just going to follow up with whatever Ethan says, because I really have no opinion on this.
I think, like, obviously, we have a couple receivers go down with injuries, and there seems to be no drop-off. There's just so much talent and so much depth at receiver this year that I think you could call it a stable. And I would also say, there's a lot we could go on this. We could talk about how I think certain running backs should play more of a receiving role. How we could talk about there needs to be running back by committee. There's a lot of offshoots we could go with this discussion that would be fun to talk about, but we simply don't have the time. And just for the sake of sticking with the question that he asked, I would say that the stable, our deepest position group would be at receiver this year. And it is our best group.
Okay, number two. With three wide receivers out this past week.
Yeah.
Were you about to say something else?
No. This is just, I didn't even read this question until now.
You did answer this question, actually. With three wide receivers out this past weekend, the remaining wide receivers really stepped up. Does State have the deepest wide receiver group in the SEC?
The question here is the deepest, and I would say yes. I'm not sure that we're the most talented just because freaking A&M has like 75 five-star receivers.
That's very true. 75 is a very accurate number, too.
So I would say that we are the deepest when it just comes top to bottom. But I would say that schools like A&M and Ole Miss would easily rival us in that regard.
Certainly. Number three. This past weekend, we saw Angry Dak for the first time this year, something that we mentioned earlier in the show. Are you happy or concerned with the emergence of Angry Dak?
What are your thoughts here?
You know, why not be happy? Why not be happy if he's angry? He's angry about our performance so far this year. Our performance so far this year, if you compare it to last year, which was the first time Dak was the full-time starter, compared to last year, this year has been mediocre. And if he's angry, he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder. Why the heck not?
We talked previously. It wasn't on the show, but it was after, I think, the A&M game, mm-hmm. where some of Mullen's comments and some of Dak's comments post-game reminded me a bit of another number 15 that was historic to college football. And we, you know, just there's been a lot of comparisons between Dak and Tim Tebow, and just, I think if Dak, who is normally just a very chill quarterback, just kind of lets the game come to him because it just comes to him so naturally. Mm-hmm. If he were to just aggressively pursue this offense, like what we saw this past game, I think this offense could be better than last year's.
Certainly. Just
the talent, the receivers, you know, and maybe we can get the running game going if he's shredding defenses apart like we saw him do to La Tech.
And number four is my favorite question on this list. How do the events of Saturday as a whole rank in the best days ever?
I'll let you take this just because you, as even though I was connected to it because, you know, it was Ole Miss losing, you, mm-hmm. you really have connections here. So I'll let you answer this one.
You know, this, and when it comes to Ole Miss losing and Mississippi State winning, the top 2 days, in my opinion, Ethan, I wish you were able to be a Mississippi State fan with number one. Number one was, I forgot the exact day, I believe it was September 1st of the year 2010, when Mississippi State beat Memphis 49-7 and Ole Miss lost to Jacksonville State 49-48.
I watched that game.
You did what? You watched
the Jacksonville State one.
But you weren't a Mississippi State fan, so you didn't hate Ole Miss, Ethan.
I didn't hate. No. I mean, I was paying attention to Mississippi State. But I was actually. I remember. I was specifically in Bryant-Denny Stadium with my sister and the rest of my family, because my sister went to Bama, and we were talking about it.
Yeah, I was in Davis-Wade Stadium before the State-Memphis game. And then number two was you experienced this past season when Mississippi State beat Kentucky and Ole Miss lost to LSU.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Now, if let's say that Mississippi State beat Auburn, simply because Mississippi State beat Louisiana Tech, that sort of brings it down. But for me, knowing that it was Memphis being able to beat Ole Miss in this situation, I've always put the Jacksonville State loss for Ole Miss as the number one best day ever. This would probably surpass that, simply because of Memphis beating Ole Miss and how this is such a big win for Memphis, and knowing how Ole Miss beat Alabama and they still have a bit of a shot at the playoff and how everything was simply just shot down into ruins. This is probably number one, yeah. Ethan, do you have an opinion on this?
I mean, the only thing that I think could have topped it is if we had beaten A&M, and that was the same weekend as the Florida game.
Certainly.
Had those two events coincided, I would have been on top of the freaking world.
Yeah, you would have with your opinions of Texas A&M. And we will
I would have been so happy.
We will discuss those opinions of Texas A&M on Thursday because of a certain game that's happening this weekend that I really want to hit you about. But anyways, we'll get to that later. Now, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this for you. I'll ask you. If Ole Miss would have lost to Alabama last year, which was the same weekend that Mississippi State absolutely annihilated Texas A&M, that would be the obvious number one for you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Without a doubt.
But to quote Brian Haydad, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
And isn't he quoting someone?
I think so, but I don't know who he's quoting, so I'm... Oh, well. So those are...
So quote Brian Haydad, who is quoting someone else that is unknown.
Yeah, correct. So that's all the questions we have, so that's just about it. So, Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
I'll let you have the final thoughts this time, and you can close the show.
But you had
such a fun weekend.
The thing is, Ethan, I had the final thoughts last week, and you called me. You said that they were terrible.
Then why don't we let our final thoughts be? We are thinking of our friend, John Clark.
Yes.
Who we don't know the details behind it.
Apparently, he had an incident. Is what his uncle
said. He's in the hospital in Tupelo where he was airlifted to. So, you know John better than I do.
If you're airlifted somewhere, that's not good at all.
No.
And, you know, I was pretty happy when I saw his selfie of him giving a thumbs up. But with that being said, he didn't look too great. He had a cast around his neck and his eye looked pretty swollen. We don't know what's going on, and I'm sure more details will be going around, circulating through the internets as the days continue. But for now, we don't know what's going on, and we really hope it was nothing too absolutely terrible. But yes, prayers to John, who is an active listener to this show. He may not be listening to this show because of his situation, whatever it is.
Yeah, he needs to focus on healing more than he needs to focus on
listening to our show.
Our show.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. But Ethan, you said that I could have a final thought, and I'll have a final thought.
Go for it.
I wish before this past weekend's Troy game, and I'll get to all that later, because that whole entire situation, I explained it to you, Ethan, made me angry. But before the Troy game, I had a streak of, since 2010, I've never missed a Mississippi State home game. And if I would have gone to the Troy game, I would have willingly missed the Louisiana Tech game if I knew what was going on, what was going to happen in that Memphis Ole Miss game. And knowing that at my school, about if you would poll people who are fans of a certain college team, I'd say a good majority, so really a majority, are Ole Miss fans, and three of my closest friends are Ole Miss fans. I have classes...
Do they listen to the show?
No. They do not listen to the show, which is unfortunate. But I wish I could have sat right by them in some sort of Memphis clothing, because I have Memphis Tiger clothing. I own it. I don't own a Memphis visor, and I'll need to work on that. But I wish I were at the Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium on Saturday, watching that terrific game, and I've said this, that Tennessee was always my second favorite team, UT was my second favorite team. Memphis and UT are now both of my second favorite teams, because this win really just made me have a completely new idea on Memphis, knowing that it is now a football school because our basketball team absolutely sucks. Thanks, Josh Pastner. But anyways, that's a...
I didn't know you were a Longhorn fan.
No, UT is Volunteer Tennessee. Yeah. Have you heard of that? Tennessee? UT, the University of Tennessee? Never heard of it?
Here, why don't we do something like we did with the MSU, the Michigan State, Minnesota State. Let's just say, what is it, Tulsa? University of Tulsa, they're UT. Let's just go there.
Okay, well then Tennessee and Memphis are my second favorite teams. But that was such a terrific weekend. Congratulations to the Tigers. We've got Tulsa. Memphis does play Tulsa this weekend on Friday.
See, it's interesting because I'm generally the more positive one about state. You're typically a little bit more pessimistic.
Yes, that's because I'm speaking from experience.
But you actually like more schools than I do. I have like this list that of schools that I like despise.
Yeah.
You have multiple teams that you can actually like, and I mean I have a few that I can tolerate here and there. I can support.
I root for four teams: Mississippi State, Memphis, Tennessee, and whoever plays Ole Miss. So there you go.
That's fair.
So, Memphis won, Mississippi State won. Is there anything you would like to just wrap up really quickly with, Ethan? Or can I just go ahead and close it?
You can go ahead and close it.
All right. So, that'll do it for this episode of Ruin the Podcast Holes. On Thursday, we'll preview Mississippi State, Kentucky, and there better not be an announcement about black uniforms. I will be angry. But anyways, we'll talk about that.
I do have one thing.
You have something.
Didn't Jackie Sherrill lose to La Tech?
That'll do it for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Calls. thank you all for listening. Bye-bye, everybody, and go Tigers, go.